were walking in
high cotton. Old times there are not forgotten. Those fields.
It's not hard to let your mind go to the South when you think cotton. We've got Alabama to thank for that, Creedence Clearwater Revival. But 3,000 years, the whole Hokum have been growing cotton here in Arizona. And I do have some numbers. I'm not going to let you get through the broadcast without crunching the numbers.
We'll get
to them in a little bit. But you had mentioned cotton's a hard crop to grow. Why is that?
Paco, do you want to answer it? It's just complex. It's a fruit. So bugs love it. It's, you just really have to stay on top of it. What else, Paco, should we describe?
You're battling weather and trying to establish stands in the spring. You're battling rains, weather, insects. You never really know what's going to come at you next. The transgenic cotton and the Bolgard cottons have helped us with the worm pest, but we still have other pests. Piercing, sucking insects such as ligus. White flies are a problem for us. They also carry, and a lot of insects will vector diseases, plant diseases, which will hurt you quite a bit. And, of course, and you get some of those diseases come in on storms from rains. This year we had an unusual situation in July and in the first part of August where we had the perfect scenario for old world bollworm, as we call it, or corn earworm, and they were coming through some of the Bolgard cotton. So haven't seen bollworm. In fact, there's some young PCA crop advisors out there right now that don't know what a bollworm is because it's been so long since we've had them here.
The other thing that I like to highlight is because we think, well, cotton is a fiber, so you don't connect it as a food crop, but it actually is. It's a food crop for livestock with the cottonseed crushed and mixed into their feed. It's very high in protein and energy and all sorts of good stuff. But
so it feeds the animals that feed us.
Yes. And the other thing is the cottonseed oil. Chefs like it because it has a higher flash point, and if they don't want to add any flavor to whatever they're cooking through the oil, like we love olive oil, and it is a healthy oil. It's a good oil because, and it also can add flavor to whatever you're cooking. But cottonseed oil doesn't add flavor. It has a high flash point, so your chefs and some of your in-home chefs really love cottonseed oil.
And something interesting I didn't know reading through some of your articles on cotton is there's more than just white cotton.
Oh, yes. And in fact, I've heard, according to the research, I've heard that there was actually some colored cotton. There was more a variety of colors way back when, but we've now, here in the United States, the majority of the cotton that's grown, obviously, is going to be the white cotton because it's easier to just add the color in the manufacturing process versus trying to grow it that way. And when you talk about colors, it's not the vibrancy that you see in a bright yellow or red, but hues of your light tans and some light greens and stuff like that.
Yeah, and there were some blues and I think a red, if I remember right, the greens and then varied shades of tans. I'm also under the impression that there is somebody still here in the state locally doing some small plot stuff with some colored. And it's the other interesting thing is we were just talking about it a little bit recently is that they don't, unlike white cotton, like in a T-shirt that will fade over time from washing, it ages and it just kind of goes dingy and yellow. The colored cottons actually get more color, more brilliant, and more vibrant the older they are and the more they've been washed, I've been told.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's a cool bit of trivia. I just love cotton.
Now we just got to keep the moths out.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a very versatile fiber, too. That's why it's continued to be so popular. And, you know, we need our farmers to continue to grow it because we don't want to run around. We always say without farmers, we'd be hungry and naked. So
yes.
There's some truth to that.
Yeah, even fig leaves. Someone had to grow the fig leaves tree.
Someone had to grow the fig leaves.
out there growing. Well, Paco, how many acres of cotton do you currently, and is that your only crop?
No, it's not my only crop. I also grow some durum wheat, which most of our durum wheat that's produced in the state of Arizona goes export over to Italy, Europe. Some of it goes to South America for pasta manufacturing. I grow some broccoli seed for seed production that's going to the Far East for the sprout market. I've grown some onion seed for onions, but cotton, currently this year I have about 310 acres of cotton in the mix. And I've grown alfalfa in the past. I've also grown some watermelons. I've had seedless watermelons, the personal size, the regular size seedless watermelons in the past. And I've done, what else? Chickpeas, I guess. I tried that one too, or garbanzo beans, which is kind of an interesting crop. But that was a one-and-done thing. It didn't turn out so well.
You got to try.
You got to try.
Don't know till you stick it in the ground and see what grows.
Exactly.
Well, we'll talk through some of the numbers and how big of a pie the cotton takes up on the Arizona's ag wheel, the $23 billion industry that we have here in Arizona, up from 17. How often do they do that census?
The ag census is every 5 years, and we're always investigating those numbers. Go to azfb.org to learn more about it, too.
And what's interesting about it, our number of ag and farmlands have shrank, but the dollar value has grown faster than inflation because of, like what you were saying, we're growing more with less.
Correct.
Higher yield. Very, very fascinating industry, very impressive. I don't know that there's another industry that could claim that.
Very few.